You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And a warm welcome along to the William Hill Daily Racing Podcast. You join us on Wednesday's edition of the podcast, where we'll be looking ahead to racing at Newmarket. Then we're at Fontwell and Worcester over the jumps. We're at Kempton in the evening over the poly track. And there's an Irish fixture at Navan to enjoy as well. And you'll hear every race live on William Hill Racing Radio from 1:20 p.m. in the company of Natalie Carey, Rory Delaghi and Gary Capewell. But ahead of all that, my name is Sam Norris, and joining myself on the podcast today is Dale Gibson. Morning, Dale.
Hi, Sam. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very good. Thank you. Yourself?
Very good form.
Good stuff. We'll be taking a look ahead to two contests from HQ and two from Kempton a little bit later on in the podcast, but we'll start with a look back to a fantastic weekend at Champions Day, of course, at Ascot, the culmination of the flat season, if you like. I know we've got the Racing Post Trophy to come, but this very much marks the end of it in most people's calendar. Some superb performances on the day, Dale. What were the standouts for you?
I think Muharrar was just so impressive in the sprint. He really was. He put the race to bed in a matter of strides, won four group ones this year. He just had that one blip when you can forgive him when he ran in the French Guineas. There was no way on earth that he was going to get a mile. But they tried it and it didn't work and they reverted him back to sprinting. But he's been in fantastic form since that tiny hiccup earlier in the season in France. But he was hugely impressive,
and it was pretty much a career best as well.
Yeah,
wasn't it,
was.
Really?
It was, considering he's been on the go all year. Mm. They've kept him nicely ticking over. So that was for me the standout on the card. Jack Hobbs had every chance in the champion, just wasn't quite good enough on the day. Again, he's been on the go a long time, and possibly just took the edge off him in the last furlong of the race. I'm sure John Gosden will get him back next season. He's a high quality horse.
It remains a day that Dermot Weld and Pat Smullen have a great deal of success at, though, and of course fascinating rock going in that aforementioned race.
Absolutely. They're a phenomenal team. They're tough guys to beat, and they really think about the job. They really put a lot of homework in before these events, whether they're low-key or top quality events. But yeah, the horse ground it out. I think you'll see him in all the top group ones again next season, but he certainly acquitted himself well, and he was the best horse on the day.
Yeah, hopefully do see him next season. Searching the QE2 as well, this was obviously billed as the big duel between Solo and Glen Eagles. Grant probably was in Glen Eagles' favour, but if he does go for the Breeders' Cup Classic, maybe they needed to get the run into him. And of course we've seen him be taken out of races throughout the season, yeah, when maybe the ground was a little bit more suitable. Aidan O'Brien's felt the need to come out in the paper this morning and defend himself against the critics. He's certainly a man who knows what he's doing, but was the ground a little bit too dead for Glen Eagles?
Yeah, and I think the fact, again, he's been on the go a long time, he's been prepped up for a couple of races and then taken out at the last minute. It's a difficult one. You know, there's no finer operator than Aidan O'Brien. I don't think people should be second guessing what his plans and strategy are. The horse is a high quality miler. It could just be that it's the end of the season for him. If I was a betting man, I would suggest that he's odds against to be going over there. I think they'll be retiring him.
Okay. Oh, fair enough.
Personally, why risk him again?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And of course, it'd be remiss of us not to mention the winner of that race, Solo. Another devastating performance. And one of the great things about him, he's a gelding, which means we'll see him for the foreseeable future.
Absolutely, absolutely. He's been very well placed by connections, and he's tough, he's game, he's consistent. He keeps putting in these terrific performances day in, day out, and he's certainly a high-quality miler.
Yeah. Absolutely. Elsewhere, of course, on Champions Day, I know you were there, Dale. Tom Wakand, of course, crowned the champion apprentice of the season over at Catterick, just beating Jack Garrity. It was a really exciting finish to the champion apprentice.
It was, yeah, and it's the first time we've ever really been able to promote it through the new Stobart Championship. Obviously, Sylvester was champion jockey. He received his prize down at Ascot, which was great. And there's been much more to it than was originally communicated back in April when the new format was initially decided. And I think as the months have gone on, people are a lot of people, not everybody will accept it, but most people are accepting the new parameters. Ryan Moore's off on his travels this week. Sylvester's off on his travels. And I think we'll see next year people will be coming back on, into the fold in next April, ready for hopefully will be another successful season starting in May. But Tom Marquand, he's only been riding a year. He's had 54 winners during this camp championship. He's got a very old head on young shoulders. And he's done very well. He had a winner. I actually walked around the track with him at Catterick, and it was like talking to a guy that'd been riding for 10 years.
Really?
Yeah. He's with the right team, and he's light. He's got a real brain in his head. He can ride, so he's got a chance.
Excellent stuff. And congratulations to Tom. One perhaps negative that came out of the day, Dale, TV figures were significantly down from what they were last year. Can you put your finger on a reason why? It's difficult to say.
So much going on Saturdays. You know, there's the Rugby World Cup going on.
Liverpool, Spurs, Jurgen Klopp.
There's a lot going on now. Saturdays has got so much more competition from every angle, as you say, whether it's a football, whether it's a rugby, whether it's people doing other things. I couldn't put my finger on it specifically, but I think racing's just got to knuckle down and try and get the best program out there. Channel 4 are doing their best with what they've got, just hope they can pick it back up.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully so. We'll move on to some of the latest news then that's obviously broke earlier in the week, and a bold decision from the BHA, obviously revamping the way they do maidens. They're going to switch 90% of the races from March to July from maidens to a novice style system that you have in the jump sphere, and then in July obviously the nurseries come back in. Bullish decision to say the least.
You could describe it as bullish. I think it is. I think they've gone overboard in having a trial where 90% of the races are.
How much of a trial is it, I suppose?
At the moment, we probably have too few novice stakes for those horses that win in the first two or three months of the turf season prior to Royal Ascot. So they're trying to get their second win or their second run to see whether they're good enough for Royal Ascot. For me, and we communicated this via BHA through the PJA, that we should maybe have gone down the route of having additional novice stakes for two-year-olds rather than going down this route where we are seeing 90% being winners' races. I think what will happen, the major players, Mark Johnson, Fahey, Hannon, Kevin Ryan, Haggis, et al. In Newmarket with a lot of firepower, will flood these races with their winners. Don't know what the penalty structure is going to be yet because we haven't been told. And I just think they want to be very careful. Fewer, and this is a fact, whether you like the system or not, absolute fact, fewer individual two-year-olds will win races in 2016, which means fewer individual owners will own two-year-olds, fewer individual jockeys will ride two-year-old winners, fewer old individual trainers will train two-year-old winners. For me, that is a massive, massive negative. Breeders aren't going to breed as many winners because there'll be more horses that win. Sorry, there'll be more multiple winners. Therefore, there'll be less winners of one. And there's lots of horses that can only get to a point where they win a maiden in the first 3 months of the season. That's their derby. They're not good enough to win in the second half of the season. Or they might get sore shins in the summer on the fast ground, whatever. You know, horses aren't 100% all year. And I just think fair play to them for having a trial, but don't go from one extreme. It's a completely opposite spectrum. I completely agree with Rafe Beckett, who's come out in the paper today with the same sentiments. But time will tell. We've tried to put our two pennyworth across, and the trainers have agreed it, allegedly. Some agree, some don't, but we'll see. But those trainers that moan to me in April and May next year that they can't find a race or they can't win a race, they've just got to look at today's announcement, and they'll get a shock next year.
Yeah.
I'm afraid. Your views on it?
I agree with your sentiments regarding not every horse is a superstar. You're going to get those poorer horses, and then where are they going to go? But I suppose on the flip side, I can see the fact that it'll give more opportunities to the horses winning maidens earlier on in the season. But again, are we going to have the situation where we have some horses going to Royal Ascot that have won three or four races already? Work into that. But I suppose it works relatively well in the jump sphere. So I assume the thinking
is fewer horses and a different type. You know, that horse is going to be on the go for the next year, 18 months progression, whereas these two-year-olds, a lot of them are just going to be two-year-olds. Yes, maidens will proliferate in July, and I get that. But, you know, what happens to that early season two-year-old that's sort of 75, 80 rated that normally you can win a race with at, you know, a midweek meeting? You're going to struggle to do that now.
Yeah.
Even getting £7. I think the novice auctions could well be best for field size. But we'll see. You know, at least they are showing a little bit of initiative. And I know there's going to be a lot more initiatives coming out in the next 6 to 12 months through the race planning side of the BHA. And we've, on the whole, we've got to welcome them. But I just think they have maybe bitten off more than they can chew to start with.
Yeah, I think the key issue that everyone has with it is 90% is too much. That's that's one of the prevailing comments that people keep saying.
And what happens to the big boys next year? Are they gonna say, "Oh, I really want to run my winner in that because it will win again, but I really want to run my quite nice horse. I can't run the two of them in the same race." Mm. Okay, so one's going to go to Ripon and it'll be 1-2 and it'll win there, frighten everybody off along with something else. And the other one will go to Windsor. Oh, there's another winner there. Oh, well, okay, yeah. What are we going to do? Well, time will tell.
Yeah.
I have serious reservations about it, though.
Okay. Yeah, very interesting to get Dale's thoughts on that. We must move ahead, though, to action on Wednesday. We've got two races from HQ to look at, and then we'll take a little quick spin through a couple on the Kempton card on the all-weather. We'll start at Newmarket, though, with their 3:45. This is a condition stakes over 7 furlongs, a Class 2 event with 5 runners down to go to post, but a couple of unexposed sorts in here, and I suppose the interesting dynamic is that Hayad for Al Shakab is receiving weight where he'd be giving it a handicap to Storm Rising. Those are the two protagonists.
Yeah, I mean, I just see Hayad as the horse to beat, to be perfectly honest. Got an official rating of 95 against Storm Rising 80, risk adjusted 86. Knife Edge has won a maiden and comes here, you know, unbeaten, but it's a trappy little race. These are the races that we'll see next year.
Yeah.
This is going to be one of those races, 5-runner race.
Indeed.
So try winning this with an unraced maiden.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. I mean, I wouldn't like
would
to speculate.
It'd have to be very good, wouldn't it?
Well,
have to be 96.
The price of an unraced maiden, yeah.
To be 96 on debut, that's right. Officially,
that's
to
right.
Win it, to win its maiden. Or novice, whatever we're going to call them. Novice maidens. So yeah, Hayad for me, John Gosden. Very well in here is my pick. In a handicap, we'll be giving Storm Rising £15. It is a receipt of 5, so it's £20 well in with Storm Rising. Don't know whether they'll run Storm Rising tomorrow when they work out that it's £20 wrong, but we'll see. So yeah, one for Johnny G and Frankie.
Hey, Ad then for Dale backing John Gosden and Frankie Dettori to continue their terrific season. One more to come then from Newmarket. This is the 5:25. It's the last race on their card. A Phillies handicap here. It's a Class 2 event with 14 runners. A mile is the trip for these Phillies. What did you like in this one, Dale?
Yeah, there's a couple here. Boonga Rogetta always runs very well at Newmarket. Rosie Jessup knows her well. She's had a bit of a break from her last start a couple of months ago. She'll give you a run for your money, so keep an eye on the market with her. But take a chance. Fruit Pastel won this race last year for Jimmy Fortune and Huey Morrison. Has another go. Is £6 higher in the ratings. Ran well penultimate start when she was second. Didn't fare so well last time, but I'll take a chance. Fruit Pastel in the 5:25.
Okay, Fruit Pastel then for Hugh Morrison and Jimmy Fortune getting the pick for Dale. It's off over to Kempton then for the next two on today's podcast. The first comes up at 7:55. This is a 7 furlong nursery. 9 runners will go down to contest this Class 4. Who's on the shortlist here?
Yeah, shortlist of 1. Grey Morning, handicap debutant for the Haggis and Cosgrave team. Mark of 82. Okay, drawn out in 8. 9 runners. Shouldn't be too much of an inconvenience. One or two of these you have to respect. Replenish, I would give Replenish an equal chance. But I just think the form of the Haggis horses through this year has been superb. Grey Morning for me.
Okay, Grey Morning then for the Red Hot Willie Haggis in that 7:55 contest at Kempton. Final race on today's podcast comes up at 8:25. 7 furlong handicap at Kempton. 14 of them down to contest it. One or two arriving here in pretty decent nick, Dale.
Yeah, they are. A tough little race, this. 71 to 85. A whole bunch of horses here with a squeak about them. I like Ustinov, though. David O'Mara, Danny Tudhope. David wouldn't bring too many down to Kempton Park. But Ustinov on the hat-trick. And Tudhope riding particularly well, again, is a phenomenally talented rider. Should make it his last three. So Ustinov in the 8:25.
They'll take Ustinov to get the hat-trick up then for David O'Meara and Danny Tudhoe. Just remind us, please, one more time, your selections for the action on Wednesday.
Yeah, action on Wednesday in the 3:45 at Newmarket. John Gosden, Frankie Dettori, Hayad very well in these condition stakes, absolutely thrown in on the weights. 5:25, last year's winner, Fruit Pastel, for Huey Morrison and Jimmy Fortune. And then over to Kempton Park for the evening action. Grey Morning in the 7:55. On handicap debut for Haggis and Cosgrave. And then in the 8:25, the long distance traveller from David O'Mara's Yorkshire Yard is Ustinov.
Thank you very much. There we are, Dale Gibson's thoughts then on the William Hill Racing Podcast. And remember to tune in on Wednesday from 1:20 p.m. We've got Newmarket, Fontwell and Worcester in the afternoon, Kempton on the Polytrack in the evening, one Irish card from Navan. It's Natalie Carey, Rory Delaghi and Gary Capel in the studio. So make sure you join us for all of that on Wednesday. You've been listening to the Daily Racing Podcast, brought to you by William Hill.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.